Chapter 6. There were big adventures and small adventures, Mr. Bunsey knew. You didn't get told what size they were going to be before you started. Sometimes you could have a big adventure even when you were standing still. From Mr. Bunsey Has an Adventure.
Hello? Hello, it's me, and I'm going to give the secret knock now.
There were three knocks on the stable door, and then Melissa's voice rose again with, "Hello? Did you hear the secret knock?"
"Perhaps you'll go away if we keep quiet," said Keith in the straw.
"I shouldn't think so," said Morris.
He raised his voice and called out, "We're up here."
"You've still got to give the secret knock," shouted Melissa.
said Morris under his breath. And fortunately no human knows how bad a swear word that is in cat language.
"Look, this is me, okay? A cat which talks? How will you recognize me? Shall I wear a red carnation?"
"I don't think you're a proper talking cat anyway," said Melissa, climbing the ladder.
She was still wearing black, and had bundled up her hair under a black scarf. She also had a big bag slung from her shoulder.
"Gosh, she's got that right," said Morris.
"I mean, you don't wear boots and a sword and have a big hat with a feather in it," said the girl, pulling herself into the loft.
Morris gave her a long stare.
"Boots?" he said at last. "On these paws?"
"Oh, it was in a picture in a book I read," said Melissa calmly. "A silly one for children, full of animals that dressed up as humans."
It crossed Morris's cat mind, and not for the first time, that if he moved fast he could be out of the city in 5 minutes and onto a barge or something. Once, when he was no more than a kitten, he'd been taken home by a small girl who dressed him up in doll's clothes and sat him at a small table with a couple of dolls and 3/4 of a teddy bear. He'd managed to escape through an open window, but it had taken him all day to get out of the dress. That girl could have been Melissa. She thought animals were just people who hadn't been paying enough attention.
"I don't do clothes," he said.
It wasn't much of a line, but it was probably better than saying, "I think you're a loony."
"Could be an improvement," said Melissa. "It's nearly dark. Let's go. We shall move like cats."
"Oh, right," said Morris. "I expect I can do that."
Although, he thought a few minutes later, no cats ever moved like Melissa. She obviously thought that it was no good looking inconspicuous unless people could see that you were being inconspicuous. People in the street actually stopped to watch her as she sidled along walls and scuttled from one doorway to another. Morris and Keith strolled along after her. No one paid them any attention. Eventually, in a narrow street, she stopped at a black building with a big wooden sign hanging over the door. The sign showed a lot of rats, a sort of star made of rats, with all their tails tied together in a big knot.
"Sign of the Ancient Guild of Rat Catchers," whispered Melissa, swinging her bag off her shoulder.
"I know," said Keith. "It looks horrible."
"Makes an interesting design, though," said Melissa.
One of the most significant things about the door below the sign was the big padlock holding it shut. Odd, Morris thought. If rats make your legs explode, why do rat catchers have to have a big lock on their shed?
"Luckily, I'm prepared for every eventuality," said Melissa,
and reached into her bag. There was a sound as of lumps of metal and bottles being moved around.
"What have you got in there?" said Morris.
"Everything?" "The grapnel and rope ladder take up a lot of the room," said Melissa,
still feeling around.
"And then there's the big medicine kit, and the small medicine kit, and the knife, and the other knife, and the sewing kit, and the mirror for sending signals, and this."
She pulled out a small bundle of black cloth. When she unrolled it, Morris saw the gleam of metal.
"Ah," he said, "lockpicks, right? I've seen burglars at work."
"Happens," said Melissa, selecting one. "Hairpins always work in the books I've read. You just push it into the keyhole and twiddle. I have a selection of pre-bent ones."
Once again, Morris felt a little chill at the back of his head. "They work in stories," he thought. "Oh, dear me." "And how come you know so many dogs?" But they didn't mind cats. Cats never attempted to tear their throats out. And what thieves tended to have, he knew, were complicated little tools which were used with great care and precision. They didn't use stupid... Click.
Good,
said Melissa, in a satisfied voice. That was just luck, said Morris, as the padlock swung free. He looked up at Keith. You think it's just luck too, eh, kid?
How would I know? Said Keith. I've never seen it done before.
I knew it would work, said Melissa. It worked in the fairy story The Seventh Wife of Greenbeard, where she broke out of his room of terror and stabbed him in the eye with a frozen herring.
That was a fairy story, said Keith.
Yes, said Melissa proudly, right out of Grimm Fairy Tales.
You've got some bad fairies in these parts, said Morris, shaking his head. Melissa pushed the door open.
Oh, no, she moaned. I didn't expect this.
Somewhere below Morris's paws and about a street away, the one local rat that the changelings had found alive was crouched in front of Dangerous Beans. The squads had been called back. This was not turning out to be a good day. Traps that didn't kill, Darktan thought. You found them sometimes. Sometimes humans wanted to catch rats alive. Darktan didn't trust humans who wanted to catch rats alive. Honest traps that killed outright. Well, they were bad, but you could usually avoid them, and at least there was something honest about them. Live traps were like poison. They cheated. Dangerous Beans was smelling the newcomer. It was strange, but the rat who could think the most unrat-like thoughts was also the best at talking to Kikis. Except that talking wasn't the right word. No one, not even Hammond Pork, had a sense of smell like Dangerous Beans. The new rat certainly wasn't giving any trouble. For one thing, it was surrounded by rats who were big and well-fed and tough, so its body was respectfully saying, "Sir," as hard as it could. The changelings had also given it some food, which it was engulfing rather than eating.
"She was in a box trap," said Darktan, who was drawing lines on the floor with a stick. "We found a lot of them."
"I got caught in one of those once," said Hammond Pork. "Then a female human came along and tipped me out over the garden wall. Couldn't see the point of it."
"I believe some humans do it to be kind," said Peaches. "They get the rat out of the house without killing them."
"Didn't do her any good anyway," said Hammond Pork with satisfaction. "I went back next night and whittled on the cheese."
"I don't think anyone is trying to be kind here," said Darktan. "There was another rat in there with her. At least," he added, "there was part of a rat in there with her. I think she'd been eating it to stay alive."
"Very sensible," nodded Hammond Pork.
"We found something else," Darktan said, still drawing furrows in the dirt. "Can you see these, sir?"
He'd drawn a network of lines on the floor.
"I can see them, but I don't have to know what they are," said Hammond Pork.
He rubbed his nose.
"I've never needed any more than this."
Darktan gave a patient sigh.
"Then smell, sir, that this is a picture of all the tunnels we've explored today. It's the shape I have in my head. We've explored a lot of the town. There's a lot of the..." He glanced at Peaches. "A lot of the kind traps, mostly empty. There's poison all over the place. It's mostly quite old. Lot of empty box traps, lots of killer traps still set. And no live rats. None at all, except for our new friend. We know that's very odd. I sniffed around a bit near where I found her, and I smelled rats. Lots of rats. I mean, lots."
"Alive?" said Dangerous Beans.
"Yes. All in one place. It smells that way," said Darktan. "I think a squad should go and look."
Dangerous Beans padded over to the rat and sniffed at her. The rat sniffed at him. They touched paws. The watching changelings were astonished. Dangerous Beans was treating the Kiki as an equal.
"Lots of things, lots of things," he murmured. "Many rats, humans, fear, lots of rats. Crowded, food, rat. You said she'd been eating rats."
"'It's a rat-eat-rat world,' said Hammond Pork. "'Always has been, always will be.'
Dangerous Beans wrinkled his nose.
"'There's something else. Something odd. Strange. She's really scared.'
"'She was in a trap,' said Peaches. "'And then she met us.'
"'Much, much worse than that,' said Dangerous Beans. "'She's frightened of us because we're strange rats, "'but she smells relieved that we're not what she's used to.'
"'Humans,' Dark Tan spat.
"'I don't think so.
"'Other rats?'
"'Yes, no, I don't. "'It's hard to tell.
"'Dogs? Cats?
"'No.'
Dangerous Beans stepped back.
"'Something new.'
"'What should we do with her?'
said Peaches.
"'Let her go, I suppose.
"'We can't do that,' said Dark Tan. "'We've triggered all the traps we've found, "'but there are still poisons all over the place. "'I wouldn't send a mouse out into that lot. "'She hasn't tried to attack us after all.'
"'So,' said Hammond Pork, "'what's another dead gee-gee?'
"'I know what Dark Tan means,' said Peaches. "'We can't just send her out to die.'
Big Savings stepped forward and put a paw around the young female, cuddling her protectively. She glared at Hammond Pork. Although she might nip him sometimes if she was annoyed, she wouldn't argue with him. She was too old to do that. But her look said, "'All males are stupid, you stupid old rat.' He looked lost.
"'We've killed Kiki's, haven't we?' he said. "'Why do we want this one hanging around?'
"'We can't send her out to die,'
said Peaches again, looking at Dangerous Bean's expression. He had that faraway look in his pink eyes.
"'You want it trailing around, eating our food and messing things up,' said Hammond Pork. "'It can't talk, it can't think.'
"'Nor could we not long ago,'
snapped Peaches.
"'We were all like her.'
"'We can think now, young female,' said Hammond Pork, his hair rising.
"'Yes,' said Dangerous Beans quietly. "'We can think now. "'We can think about what we do. "'We can pity the innocent one who means us no harm, "'and that's why she can stay.'
Hammond Pork's head turned sharply. Dangerous Beans was still facing the newcomer. Hammond Pork reared up instinctively, a rat ready to fight, but Dangerous Beans couldn't see him. Peaches watched the old rat with concern. He'd been challenged by a weedy little rat who would not last a second in a fight, and Dangerous Beans hadn't even realised he'd made the challenge. "'He doesn't think like that,' Peaches told herself. The other rats were watching Hammond Pork. They still thought like that, and were waiting to see what he would do. But it was dawning even on Hammond Pork that pouncing on the white rat would be unthinkable. It would be like cutting off his own tail. He very carefully let himself relax.
"'It's just a rat,' he muttered. "'But you, dear Hammond Pork, are not,' said Dangerous Beans. "'Will you go with Dark Tan's crew to find out where she came from? It could be dangerous.'
This made Hammond Pork's hair rise again.
"'I'm not afraid of danger,' he roared. "'Of course not. That is why you should go. She was terrified,'
said Dangerous Beans.
"'I've never been scared of anything,' shouted Hammond Pork.
Now Dangerous Beans turned to face him. In the candlelight there was a glow in the pink eyes. Hammond Pork was not a rat who spent a lot of time thinking about things he couldn't see or smell or bite, but... He looked up. The candlelight made big rat shadows dance on the wall. Hammond Pork had heard the young rats talking about shadows and dreams and what happened to your shadow after you died. He didn't worry about that stuff. Shadows couldn't bite you. There was nothing to be frightened of in shadows. But now, his own voice in his own head told him, "I'm frightened of what those eyes can see." Hammond Pork glared at Dark Tan, who was scratching something in the mud with one of his sticks.
"'I'll go, but I will lead the expedition,' he said. "'I'm senior rat here.' "'That doesn't worry me,' said Dark Tan. "'Mr. Clicky is going to be going in front in any case.'
"'I thought he got smashed last week,' said Peaches.
"'We've got two left,' said Dark Tan.
Then we'll have to raid another pet shop.
I'm the leader, said Hammond Pork. I'll say what we do, Dark Tan.
Fine, sir, fine, said Dark Tan, still drawing in the mud.
And you know how to make all the traps safe, do you?
No, but I can tell you to.
Good,
good, said Dark Tan, making more marks with his stick, and not looking at the leader.
And you'll tell me which levers to leave alone and which bits to wedge open, will you?
I don't have to understand about traps, said Hammond Pork.
But I do, sir, said Dark Tan, speaking in the same calm voice.
And I'm telling you that there's a couple of things about some of these new ones I don't understand. And until I understand them, I'd very respectfully suggest that you leave it all to me.
That is not the way to talk to a superior rat.
This is where we find out who is the leader. Then Dark Tan picked up the astonishment amongst the older males who were watching Dark Tan. Hammond Pork's fur settled.
Obviously, as the leader, you must give the orders. Unknown things are dangerous.
Yes, and that is what I am saying.
Rat catcher's shed, he said. Benches, chairing, a considerable amount of a lack of any dusting ever being done. It's what I'd have expected a rat catcher's hut to look like inside.
I was expecting something horrible yet interesting, said Melissa. Some ghastly clue.
Does there have to be a clue? Said Keith.
Of course, said Melissa, looking under a chair.
Cat, there's two types of people in the world. There are those who...
said Morris. Things just... have to smugly, in Morris's opinion.
There's always a...
Look, that's the word. There'll be a secret passage, of course. Everyone look for the entrance to the secret passage.
How will we know it's the entrance to a secret passage?
Said Keith, looking even more bewildered than normal.
What does a secret passage look like?
It won't look like one, of course.
Oh, well, in that case I can see dozens of secret passages, said Morris. Doors, windows, that calendar from the Acme Poison Company, that cupboard over there, that rat hole, that desk, that...
You're just being sarcastic, said Melissa,
lifting up the calendar and sternly inspecting the wall behind it.
"Actually, I was just being flippant," said Morris. "But I can do sarcastic if you like."
Keith stared at the long bench, which was in front of a window frosted with ancient cobwebs. Traps were piled up on it, all kinds of traps, and beside them were row upon row of battered old tins and jars with labels like "Danger," "Hydrogen Dioxide," and "Ratbane," and "Fire Gut," and "Polyputaketalon," "Extreme Caution," and "Rat Away," and "Killer Rat," and "Essence of Barbed Wire Danger," and, he leaned closer to look at this one, "Sugar." There were a couple of mugs, too, and a teapot. White and green and grey powder was scattered on the bench. Some of it had even fallen on the floor.
"You might... try to be of some help," said Melissa, tapping the walls. "I don't know how to look for something that doesn't look like the thing I'm looking for," said Keith. "And they keep the poison right next to the sugar. So many
Melissa stood back out of her eyes.
"This isn't working," she said.
"I suppose there might not be a secret passage," said Morris. "I know it's a rather daring idea, but perhaps this is just an ordinary shed."
Even Morris recoiled a little from the force of the stare Melissa turned on him.
"There has to be a secret passage," she said. "Otherwise, there's no point."
She snapped her fingers.
"Of course. We are doing it wrong. Everyone knows you never find the secret passage by looking for it. It's when you give up and lean against the wall that you inadvertently operate the secret switch."
Morris looked at Keith for help. He was a human, after all. He should know how to deal with something like Melissa. But Keith was just wandering around the shed, staring at things. Melissa leaned against the wall with incredible nonchalance. There was not a click. A panel in the floor did not slide back.
"Probably it's the wrong place," she said. "I'll just rest my arm innocently on this coat hook."
A sudden door in the wall completely failed to happen.
"Of course, it'd help if there was an ornate candlestick," said Melissa. "They're always a sure-fire secret passage lever. Every adventurer knows that."
"There isn't a candlestick," said Morris.
"I know. Some people totally fail to have any idea of how to design a proper secret passage," said Melissa.
She leaned against another piece of wall, which had no effect whatsoever.
"I don't think you'll find it that way," said Keith,
who was carefully examining a trap.
"Oh, won't I?" said Melissa. "Well, at least I'm being constructive about things. Where would you look if you're such an expert?"
"Why is there a rat hole in a rat-catcher's shed?" said Keith. "It smells of dead rats and wet dogs and poison. I wouldn't come near this place if I was a rat."
Melissa glared at him. Then her face wrapped itself in an expression of acute concentration, as if she was trying out several ideas in her head.
"Yes," she said, "that usually works in stories. It's often the stupid person who comes up with the good idea by accident."
She crouched down and peered into the
"sort of little lever," she said. "I'll just give it a little push."
There was a clonk under the floor. Part of it swung back, and Keith dropped out of sight.
"Oh, yes," said Melissa. "I thought something like that would probably happen."
Mr. Clicky bumped along the tunnel, making a whirring noise. Young rats had chewed his ears, and his string tail had been chopped off by a trap, and other traps had dented his body. But he had this advantage. Surprise traps couldn't kill Mr. Clicky, because he wasn't alive, and he wasn't alive because he was powered by clockwork. His key whirred round. A stub of candle burned on his back. The rest of the number one trap squad watched.
"Any minute now," said Dark Tan.
There was a snap, and a sound best described as gloink. The light went out. Then a gear wheel rolled slowly back down the tunnel and fell over in front of Hammond Pork.
"I thought the soil looked a bit disturbed there," said Dark Tan,
in a satisfied voice. He turned around.
"Okay, lads, break out another Mr. Clicky, and I want half a dozen of you with a rope to dig out that trap and drag it out of the way."
"All this testing the ground is slowing us down, Dark Tan," said Hammond Pork.
"Fine, sir," said Dark Tan as the squad hurried past them. "You go on ahead. That'd be a good idea, because we've only got one Mr. Clicky left. I hope this town's got a pet shop."
The rats had found one in the town of Quirm, which is where they'd got the Mr. Clickies. They were on a shelf labelled Kitty Toys, along with a box of squeaky rubber rats called, with great imagination, Mr. Squeaky. The rats had tried to set off traps by poking them with a rubber rat on the end of a stick, but the squeak when the trap shut upset everyone. No one cared about what happened to a Mr. Clicky.
"I just think we should move faster," said Hammond.
"Here you go then, sir. Try to shout out where the next trap..."
He could see mangled springs and wheels in the jaws.
He added, "I couldn't quite understand what he was going on about at the time, but now I think I can see what he meant."
He looked back along the tunnel to where a candle flame burned and grabbed a passing rat.
"Just beans are to stay right back, understand?" he said. "They're not to come any further."
"Right, sir," said the rat and hurried away. The expedition moved forward cautiously. As the tunnel opened up into a large, it had a trickle of water in the bottom. There were ancient pipes in the roof of it. Here and there steam hissed from them. Weak green light came from a street grating further down the drain. The place smelled of rats. It smelled freshly of rats. In fact, nibbling at a tray of food that had been set on a crumbling brick, it glanced at the changelings and fled.
"Get after it!" Hammond Pork yelled. "No!"
shouted Dark Tan. A couple of rats, who'd begun to chase the Kiki, hesitated.
"That was an order I gave!"
roared Hammond Pork, turning on Dark Tan, made a very brief crouch and said,
"Of course, but I think the view of Hammond Pork in possession of all the facts will be a little different than the view of Hammond Pork who just shouted because he saw a rat run away, hmm? Sniff the air."
Hammond Pork's nose wrinkled.
"Poisoned. Grey number two," he said. "Foul stuff, some of the houses."
"Why?"
"To bathe in, sir."
Hmm. Ham and Pork didn't like that idea. A lot of the young rats were keen on taking baths. Dark Tan turned to the squad. Ham and Pork wants that poison buried and whittled on and a marker on it right now. Ham and Pork heard a metallic sound beside him. He turned and saw that Dark Tan had drawn from his web of tools a long, thin piece of metal.
"What the crick is that?"
he said. Dark Tan swished the thing backwards and forwards.
"I got a stupid-looking kid to make this for me," he said.
Then Ham and Pork realised what it was.
"That's a sword," he said. "You got the idea out of Mr. Bunsey as an adventure."
"That's right."
"I've never believed that stuff,"
Ham and Pork grumbled.
"It's too far-fetched."
"But a spike is a spike," said Dark Tan calmly. "I think we're close to the other rats. It'd be a good idea if most of us stay here, sir."
Ham and Pork felt he was being given orders again, but Dark Tan was being polite.
"I suggest that a few of us go on ahead to sniff them out," Dark Tan went on. "Sardines would be useful, and I'll go, of course."
"And me," said Ham and Pork.
He glared at Dark Tan, who said, "Of course."